We're going to read now from the New Testament, actually reading on from where we picked up 2 weeks ago in Luke and chapter 8. So we are continuing in a series looking at the stories that Jesus told. And last time Jesus told the parable of the sower. And this time we're going to pick up as Jesus tells a small story about the light and the lamp. We're going to read from Luke chapter 8, verse 16 to 21, just a few verses together. Read with me if you can, if you have an open Bible or if you have it on your phone or on a screen, please do follow along as I read. No one lights a lamp and hides it in a clay jar or puts it under a bed. Instead, they put it on a stand, so that those who come in can see the light. For there is nothing hidden that will not be disclosed, and nothing concealed that will not be known or brought out into the open. Therefore, consider carefully how you listen. Whoever has will be given more. Whoever does not have, even what they think they have will be taken from them. Now, Jesus' mother and brothers came to see him, but they were not able to get near him because of the crowd. Someone told him, "Your mother and brothers are standing outside wanting to see you." He replied, "My mother and brothers are those who hear God's word and put it into practice." Open with me, if you can, at Luke and chapter 8. Luke chapter 8. And we're going to reflect on the words of the story that we read here. This story that Jesus told. Now, let's say that you send someone out to do the weekly shop. And you specifically tell them, "Okay, I want you to get 1 kilogram of chicken, 1 pack of tender stem broccoli, 1 heavy cream, 2 packs of mushrooms, 5 bananas, and a bottle of tonic water." And the list goes on. And the person comes back with beef, asparagus, 1 double cream, 3 tubes of Pringles, 6 French fancies, and a box of Coke. How do you know if someone is listening to you? If they actually do what you've asked them to do. If they come back with the wrong items from the shop, they weren't really listening when you gave them the list. That's what Jesus is talking about in this story of the lamp and the incident with his family. It's all connected. Jesus has just told the story of the soils, about how a sower went out to sow the word of God. And the 4 different soils were 4 different ways of listening to God speaking to you. And so to reinforce and to expand on what it means to listen and to listen well, Jesus quickly tells the story of a lamp. It's there in verse 16. Read it again if you can. Look down with me. No one lights a lamp and hides it in a clay jar or puts it under a bed. Instead, they put it on a stand so that those who come in can see the light. Our first point this evening is I want to look at the light that lamp that lights the lamp. The light that lights the lamp. There was once a lighthouse keeper who would receive oil once a month to keep the light burning. And the people in the nearby village used to come and visit him quite often. And over time, one person needed oil to keep her family warm. Another person needed oil for their lamp. One person needed oil for their wheels. And the lighthouse keeper would try and help everyone as best as he could. But near the end of the month, he ran out of oil. And the lighthouse went dark. And several ships crashed. He was rebuked by his superiors. You were given the oil for one reason, to keep the light burning. As good as that story can be to remind us that very often we have to keep ourselves from burning out, because as many good things there are to do, sometimes we have to hold back to make sure that we can do the things that we need to do. Well, here in this story, he had to keep the lighthouse ablaze, glowing, lighting up the coastline. He had one job to do, to keep the light burning. And the whole point was to guide the ships to safety. That's the point of the lighthouse. That's the point of this massive lamp that he had. And Jesus says the same thing about his words here. There's a link between the story of the sower and the soils and the story of the lamp. And Jesus is saying this. Those who are the good soil, which is those who hear the word of God and retain it and persevere in it, are like lamps that he himself has lit up with his words. His words are the oil, are the light, that light up us as lamps. This picture story actually works quite brilliantly, because in the wider context, the focus of these words in verse 16 are on the light itself. Jesus' words, Jesus' teaching, the gospel, they are the light that lights the lamp. He's the light. His teaching is the light. His life is the light. It's him and his words that are the light that do the revealing that's coming in verse 17 and verse 18. But the picture of a lamp being lit by that light adds to the question of how we are responding to the light of God's word. How are we responding? Are we listening? Are you a lamp that has been lit by the light? And the point here is that God's word is meant to change us. We're meant to hear God's word and to put it into practice. That's the point that ends up being made in verse 21 as to who actually belongs to the family of God. And you can't pin your allegiance to God because of your physical family, of how you were brought up, or what your parents were like, whether they believed. You only belong to the family of God. You are only a mother, a brother of Jesus, as he says at the end there, if you are a hearer and a doer. Those who hear God's word and put it into practice. That's how he says it in verse 21. You can be around all the light that you want. You can be surrounded by the light of God, hearing sermons. You've heard the gospel so many times. Maybe you've joined in quite a few live streams over the last few weeks of different churches. But are you lit? If you are, then the point Jesus is making here is that you are like a lamp that has been illuminated by Jesus. Other people are not lamps. Or if they are lamps, there's no light in them. But the lamps are to be lit. Not in order to be hidden under a bed, but to be put on a stand in order that others may see, that others may know. You've changed. You're being lit up by something, someone else. Now, as we saw in the explanation for parables that Jesus gave earlier in this passage, if you understand the secrets of the kingdom of God, then the lights have gone on for you. If you understand that Jesus is God and that he came to give his life to pay for our sins and to give us his eternal life, then his light has come on in you. We are lit up by the life of the Spirit. Jesus is the light in our darkness, setting us ablaze forevermore in the warmth and the energy of his light. But the lights haven't gone on for others. Maybe the lights haven't gone on for you. He's already mentioned this earlier in the passage. You can read it for yourself if you weren't here with us 2 weeks ago, when he told the story of the three soils that didn't listen. Jesus wants the good soil. Jesus wants people who will hear the word, who will retain it, who will persevere, who will produce fruit in their life because they are changed by the life-giving and the light-bringing words of Jesus. Jesus obviously wants these lamps that he has lit to shine and to lead others in, to be stars shining in the darkness, as Paul puts it in Philippians. He wants other people to see us. As Matthew 5 puts it, in the same way, let your light shine before others so that they may see your good deeds and glorify your Father in heaven. That they'll see that your life has changed. They'll see that you are a lamp that's shining. Jesus wants men and women to hear his voice so that we can follow and to let the light of Jesus shine through us. Because the gospel, the good news of who Jesus is, it's not something just to be talked about. And it's not some idea that's to be admired from a distance. It's not even something just to profess. Anyone can call themselves a Christian. This is something to be lived out as our lives are transformed by who Jesus is and what he's done for us. It's not just in our thoughts and on our tongues, but it needs to show itself in our lives. Our lamps need to be lit. If a glorious light has been set aflame and ablaze inside of us, then it's got to shine. We can't hide it. You can't keep it private under your bed. You can't keep it private in your life. You can't try and obscure what Jesus has done for you. We can do loads of things to obscure it. We can place other false priorities in front of Jesus to try and obscure to others that this is the most important thing. This is the light that we need. This is the light that the world needs. And we are to be lamps. But the point Jesus is making is that if we understand this, if we are listening properly, if we are proper listeners, and therefore doers of the word, then we're lamps shining. Jesus is saying, you better be very careful how you listen to the truth of my life and my words. How Are you listening to the truth of the Bible? To the truth of the gospel? How are you listening to Jesus? Because if you don't listen to Jesus properly, if you don't listen to the Bible properly, you won't obey it realistically. And if you don't obey it realistically, then my life won't shine into your life. And it won't shine into other people's lives. How do you know someone is listening to you? What's the proof that someone listened to you? If they actually do what you ask them to do. How do we know if we're listening to God? How do we know that we're Christians? That are genuinely born again, safe in the hands of Christ, promised a home in the glorious heaven to come. How do we know? How can you know if you're listening? If our lives change? That's the impact this light has. That's the impact Jesus has. Anyone who is in the family of Christ, verse 21, are those who hear God's word and put it into practice. It's people who have been changed by the light of Jesus and their lives change. It turns us into lamps, and Jesus' words, Jesus' life, his truth, Jesus lights us up. So this is the light that lights up the lamp. That's what's going on in this opening idea. But the light of these words does more than that. As we read, you may have noticed the weight of these verses as well. There's actually an edge to the story that Jesus told here. Because remember that the story would have been about an old-fashioned lamp with an actual flame inside of it. Which means, up on a stand, great, the flame gives out the light. It illuminates. But if you hide that flame under a mattress of flammable materials, it can have dangerous consequences. There's an edge. Because Jesus develops the light imagery of verse 16 into verse 17. Yes, light can illuminate a lamp and let it shine. But it can also be dangerous. It can also expose. Now look down with me at verse 17. For there is nothing hidden that will not be disclosed, and nothing concealed that will not be known or brought out into the open. And my second point this evening is that this is the light that exposes. It's an exposing and revealing light. So what's actually in the story Jesus is telling? What's actually being exposed? Ultimately, it's us. Remember, the point that Jesus is making is about how well are we listening? Are we listening well enough that we're being changed and lit up like lamps? Or maybe we're being exposed. We've heard the words of Jesus. You've heard them. And we're being exposed. It's the thoughts in our hearts being exposed. It's our true motives as we come into contact with who Jesus is and his works and his words. And what's being exposed is our response to him. And that's either a response of faith, trust, love, humble dependence and humble listening, or it's a response of rejection and ignoring. There's also a future tense to these words in verse 17. Yes, we're being exposed in the here and now, but this, there is nothing hidden that will not be disclosed. It's something that will finally and ultimately happen in the future. Jesus says there is nothing that will not be disclosed, nothing concealed that will not be known or brought out into the open. There will come a time when there is a complete exposure of all that is currently hidden and secret in the hearts and in the lives of those listening to Jesus. There will be a day where God will expose and evaluate how each and every single one of us have responded to the light of Jesus' words. And this probes into my own heart. Everything hidden and everything concealed will be exposed and disclosed. What are the secret things that I haven't told my best friends, my spouse, my family? Nothing ultimately is hidden before God. I don't know what's in your heart. I don't know how you respond. I don't know how you've been responding, and I don't know how you're responding right now, but God does. And one day, it'll be revealed. Nothing's hidden before God. He's got one of those full body airport scanners that you get at the airport. And you step in and it lights you up and they can see it all on the screens. Nothing is hidden. Everything is seen. All will be disclosed. And the stakes are quite high when we come to verse 18. And Jesus says, in light of how I can and how I will expose everything across human history and across your history, he says, therefore, consider carefully how you listen. Jesus says, ultimately, on that day of revelation, where everything will be revealed, on this day, as his light shines in his words, what matters the most is how we respond and listen to Jesus. He doesn't say, he's not talking about how much you've listened to Jesus. He's not talking about the number of times you've heard his word or even what you listen to, because the assumption is that we're listening to the teaching himself Jesus brings. The issue is how we are listening. At the end of the last parable, Jesus said that the good soil is those who listen with a noble and good heart. Which means that as we listen to Jesus, we need to have a humble, depending heart. To be humble before the word that he speaks. In the Gospels, time and time again, what the Pharisees did when they hear Jesus speak is that they hear and they even feel the exposure of their motives. But rather than listening and rather than repenting, they push Christ away and they ultimately want to have him crucified. And they dig their heels in on their own positions. They get stubborn rather than submitting to what God is saying through Jesus. And so maybe you can hear God, as it were, putting his finger on something in your heart. Maybe he's putting a finger on something in your life, in your thoughts, your speech, whatever. He's exposing, revealing something. And yet you shut yourself off from it. You suppress the truth being revealed to you. You check out mentally because you don't like the implications. You don't like where this is going of what's being revealed to you. You don't like that it's revealing that I'm not as great as I thought I was and I can't do this on my own. I want to be the one in charge of my own life. It's all about me. I don't like anything that tells me otherwise, so I'm going to ignore it. Maybe you're hearing that and you're pushing it away. Or maybe to you, the gospel is like a cake. It's an appealing idea. Seems nice, and all the ingredients are already in your kitchen. You can even recite the recipe from your memory. You can even tell other people the recipe. You can share it all day long with other folk. And you think, yeah, maybe one day I'll make and eat that cake. But for now, I'm just going to get on with my life. Just eat the cake. Who cares whether the ingredients are in your cupboard? And by that, I'm meaning there's a Bible on your shelf. Who cares? Eat the cake. Get the light of Jesus inside of you. Be a proper lamp. Today, if you hear the word of God, if you're hearing God's voice, do not harden your hearts. Eat the cake. Well, it's a light that lights the lamp. It's a light that exposes. And in verse 18, it's also a light that divides. Did any of us take music lessons as children? And the question then is, can you actually still play anything now? So in primary school, I started playing the accordion and started playing the chanter. I took the lessons, but I have definitely forgotten more than I ever learned. The little I had is now gone. But any of you who got the lessons and kept on playing and kept on playing and persevered in playing, you can probably now make and create and piece together your own wee bits of music. To those who have, more will be given. To those who have not, even what they think they have will be gone and taken from them. That's the point of the rest of verse 18. Whoever has, it says, which means whoever has faith, whoever has trust, whoever has humble dependence on the light of Jesus will be given more. There will be an abundance. And whoever does not have faith, trust, humble obedience, even what they think they have will be taken away. Now, this isn't some political statement about people's finances, that the rich will get richer and the poor will get poorer. Nothing like that. This means that those who approach Jesus' words humbly, listening, considering carefully what they're hearing, and they want to listen, they want to follow, that they want to be good soil. Well, to those, more will be given to you. There will be an abundant supply because of the light that and the life of Jesus in you, not only is there going to be an abundant supply of fruitfulness on offer in this life, but there is yet to come the fullness for all eternity. But on the flip side, when we approach the words, when we approach Jesus coldly, apathetically, indifferently, well, Jesus says, what we think we have will be taken from us. Like the music lessons, whatever spiritual knowledge and insight that we think we have will be taken away. We'll realize that we were fools all along. Every time we hear God's words, it impacts what will happen on the judgment day. At the end, when the risen Jesus returns to realign and recreate this existence with his heavenly kingdom, to lay down his justice and his truth, he will divide us. Depending on how we've responded, to how we've listened to the light of his words. Are you a listener? If so, you are a lamp that is shining. We need to be a hearer and a doer. We've got to shine if the light of Christ is ablaze in our hearts. And if you're not shining, if you're hiding it under a bed, consider carefully how you listen. Consider carefully what response you've had to Jesus Christ. Consider carefully which of the four soils you might be. If you're not a Christian yet, for you to consider carefully how you listen, for you to do what you hear, to be a doer, to be a lamp, is to put your faith and your trust in Jesus. It's that simple. Could you put your faith in him? To trust in him as the one who paid the price for your sins? The one who's been raised to life so that you might know him? That's ultimately what it means to do the word that you hear. It's to trust in him. But for a lot of us listening, people who would say that we are Christians, people who are seeking to follow after Jesus as disciples, well, there's no end to the scope of what it means to hear God's word and to do it. To be the lamps that we are called to be. To follow God. To hear his call on our lives. To hear him call us down a certain road. To hear him call us to obey him and follow him and trust in him every day. To take Jesus at his word. To respond with him with repentance, with joy, with following, with thanksgiving, with praise. Jesus is looking for hearers. But he's looking for hearers and doers. Amen.